Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 647, continuing our team-by-team previews for the 2024 fantasy baseball season. Sticking in the NL Central, talking Milwaukee Brewers baseball. No, there's no Rowdy Tellez anymore. It's okay. But my real favorite first baseman's there now, so we'll talk about him pretty soon and much, much more. It's a fun team in Milwaukee, and to help me break this all down, one of the co-hosts of In the Cut Fantasy. You can find him on Twitter at Pile of Dial. Mr. Fish, how are we doing, my friend?
Good, Bubba. How are you?
Doing well. It's good to have you back on. It's been a little while, but you've been busy. You've been plodding like crazy, so let everybody know what's going on with all that.
Yeah, we're just kind of in the middle of our position previews, and we've kind of revamped it a little bit. There's so many pods out there right now, including, you and Bloom are doing an awesome job with yours, the position previews. There's so much, kind of repeating of the everything, so we kind of switch it up a little bit. We did third and shortstop last time. We kind of combined it, did like five guys we liked, five guys we didn't, so we'll finish up with outfield and pitchers, and then we'll get into some round table things and some ADP battles and some other fun stuff.
Sweet. Yeah, I know, it's a good pod. I know Bloomfield, he got me hooked onto it, and it's one of the go-tos, so we enjoy it thoroughly. So if you guys aren't listening to In the Cut Fantasy, make sure y'all check it out. Before we go player to player here, talking Brewers, let's just get your thoughts on what were your overall, thoughts for the 2023 season with the Brewers, how it ended.
My Brewers, it seems like they're just content with making the playoffs and not being a true legit contender. I mean, you have Mark Canna and you have Carlos Santana as your 3 and 4 hitters. It's like, I don't know. It's those guys are good players, but you can't have those guys aren't your 3 and 4 hitters on a contender, So they always make these little moves. They're nice little moves, but they're never moves that put you over the top. Not since Doug Melvin, anyways, when they traded for CC back in the day. That was kind of a move to try to put you over the top. Yeah, that was awesome. But the pitching's obviously very good. Lost Woodruff now for this upcoming season, but yeah, it was disappointing the way they lost. But I went to game one against the Diamondbacks, and if they were going to lose to anybody, I was happy that they lost to the Diamondbacks, because that was a fun team.
Yep, that was a very fun team. They got to the World Series, obviously, that most people know by now. But that was a fun D-backs team for sure. That series between the Brewers and D-backs was kind of like two teams that none of the real quote unquote pundits thought were even had a chance, even after that round. And look what happened. So, I always liked the Brewers because they had the 3-headed monster on the mound. Just get to the playoffs, it could be fun. Obviously, mm-hmm. Woodruff's gone. We'll talk about the other two later in the show, but they're still an interesting crew for this year. We'll see how it pans out. So let's talk about it. Let's start with the bats on this one. And Christian Yelich, I know we talked about him last year. We were talking about, so this is kind of who he is now. He's not this MVP guy, but he's still a very formidable guy. Well, last year at 278 with 19 homers, 28 steals, 106 runs scored, and you still only have an ADP of 83 for Christian Yelich. That stat line comes back at 83. Pretty darn nice, it feels like. So what are your thoughts on Yelich this year? I know he battled the back injury last year. Is that a concern for you?
Yes, the back is a huge concern. I think that's what's keeping his price down. You know, the change of the rules with the, you know, the shift definitely benefited him. Pulls the ball a lot, hits the ball on the ground a lot. That's why you see his home run totals kind of, you know, lower than you would think for a guy that hits the ball as hard as he does. Just too many ground balls. So, you know, I think something along the lines of what he just did this past year, I think you could repeat that. But, you know, it just comes down to his back. The back issues, it's been year after year with it. He did play 144 games, so, you know, it kind of flared up towards the end. But, you know, if that back flares up at the beginning of the season and nags him all season long, you could see, you know, kind of a poor season from him. So I do have some concerns. I do have, I think, one share so far. So he's not a huge target for me. But, yeah, it's nice to see him stealing bases like he did. And the batting average, you know, kind of coming back a little bit since the shift changes.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot to like there. Back that always concerns me as someone that battles back problems myself. And we've seen other people just kind of, you know, they can pop up at any moment. And then you just, there's no exact timetable for those things, which is very frustrating. At least, like if you want to like hindsight it, he came back for the playoffs. They said even at the end of the year, he could have come back if it was important, but they're resting him for the playoffs. Yeah, who knows what's true, what's not true on that. But at least he finished the year, I guess, is the optimism part. But still, you're right, just getting older. So it's not going to get any easier for Christian Yelich.
Yeah.
Willy Adames, a guy that in 2022, 31 homers, we were all like, here we go. Stepped back to 24 home runs this last year, only 5 steals, which he kind of, you know, whatever. You maybe hoped for a little more in the new steals environment. Didn't happen. Only hit .217, though. Big drop off in a lot of areas in the hitting department. ADP is 188 now. He's going to be 28 this year. Are you looking for a bounce back from Willie and enjoying that price? Or are you just like, you know, maybe he's not the guy we thought he was?
Yeah, I like that price, actually. You know, I don't know what we're going to get in the batting average. This is a couple years in a row now where it's, you know, kind of been subpar. But, you know, if you look at the 4 years, you know, prior to that, it was above .250 in all 4 years. So I don't know what to expect. I do think that the power and the counting stats will be there. I do like those. The speed, I don't think we're going to see much in the speed. I think he's going to be single digits for sure. And then, you know, it just kind of comes down to that batting average. But I definitely like this price for sure. If you especially, you know, if you draft and you address your batting average throughout the, you know, the first, what, 8-10 rounds or so, like, he's a great target because shortstop really falls off right around where he goes. So I do have a couple shares. I don't have enough, though. I need to get some more. So, yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on Willie.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like the price tag is very appealing because even if he bounces back to that .235, .240 guy, you can live with this a lot more. Mm-hmm. If you just missed on shortstop, sure, middle infield, pretty nice. I'm a fan of that. So I am much more interested in him this year, even after that kind of fall off last year, because I had a ton of Willy Adames last year. I felt the pain of Willy Adames last year. But at the price tag, I think it's a proper dip to get back on the Willy Adames train. William Contreras, my guy. I love this man. He's just Big Willie style. The number one catcher last year, according to the Razzball Player Rater, for those keeping track at home, he had 17 homers, 6 steals at .289, which is great. The average went up from 2022. Plate skills, amazing. Strikeout rate dropped to almost 20%. He might be sacrificing some power for some batting average, but if you put the total package together, pretty darn good at catcher. ADP of 82, and the dude plays a lot. So what are your thoughts on William Contreras?
Love him. Love old William Contreras. There's a couple things that I do have just slight issues with. He does hit a lot of ground balls, but I think that also helps his batting average. So, you know, there's a little give and take there. He does hit the ball hard, and he's young where he's, you know, he's right in his prime right now. And, you know, kind of like you said, he plays a lot. So he's going to DH when he's not catching. At bats are king, especially when he's a good hitter. Counting stats are going to be there. I think we're going to see the power. I like the fact that he chips in a handful of stolen bases. So, yeah, it's he's definitely a target for me. I have a lot of shares already. And I'm probably going to continue to get more.
Yeah. Do you have a similar concern that I have, though, if he decides to go back to being maybe a 25 to 30 home run guy, we see that batting average drop a ton? Or do we have like the perfect storm where he learned how to hit all of a sudden? And if he could actually hit like 270 with 25 to 30, like, my goodness, what we could see. Are you concerned that like the average would trade off for the power potentially?
Probably a little bit. You know, if he's going to hit 25 to 30 home runs, he's going to have to put the ball in the air a little bit more. So you're probably going to see the batting average come down a little bit. But yeah, he's still like you said, 270, 275 with 25 home runs, handful of steals, tons of counting stats. He's going to hit in a good spot in the lineup too. You know, the Brewers are very top heavy with their, you know, kind of elite bats, if you want to call them elite, they're better bats. Sure. So yeah, he's going to hit in a good spot. He's going to play a lot. So that's sign me up all day for that.
Yep. Yep. I'm a fan as well. And I'm a fan of this guy, Rhys Hoskins. Rhys Pieces is now a member of the Milwaukee Brewers. Like, I've always been a huge fan of Rhys Hoskins. And the biggest reason is you could just pretty much pencil in his stat line. It was like 25 to 30 home runs. It was the same, like runs and RBIs are very similar. He was hitting like 245. That's who Rhys Hoskins is. Obviously missed last year with the ACL injury. He's back. He's ready to roll. He's in Milwaukee. He's got an ADP of 211. He went up to 192 over the last like 12 drafts. What's your thoughts on Rhys in Milwaukee? Because on paper, it seems beautiful.
Yeah, I love it. I hope he can bounce back to be, you know, the hitter that he was prior to the injury. He's the Brewers needed this. They need bats bad. They had, I think it was Jake Bowers was scheduled to be their starting first baseman. And that was going to be horrendous. Our guy last year, Rowdy, you know, had a huge April and then struggled in May and then got hurt for a couple months and then basically lost his spot. So I thought they could have just re-signed him. But once they let him go, I was a little bit nervous because I'm like, you got to do something here because – I don't know. The Brewers, to me, their window to win is this is getting close to being it because I think this is going to be the last year for Burns. So they need to do something. They either need to go all in or they need to sell off. And I think this move signals that they're gonna go for it a little bit. So I love that they needed a middle of the order bat. They needed power, and they got it with Rhys Hoskins. I'm hoping there's still some moves to come. I think they could upgrade the third base position a little bit, but. This is a good start for sure.
Yep, I'm with you. Big fan of this one. Now it gets into some interesting players on Milwaukee. Like if these guys show up, this team's gonna be pretty darn good offensively. If they don't take the next step in their youth, this could get frustrating as well. We'll start with Sal Frelick. You know, he's gonna be 24 this year. Last year we saw him play 57 games with the big club, 3 homers, 7 steals at 246. Projected to be in the outfield on opening day, ADP of 287. What were you thinking on Sal Frelick this year?
Yeah, it's you know, I hate to put a lot of pressure on these young guys because their outfield is pretty young, but they need him to step up. He's got an opportunity now. You know, going into last season, he liked the profile in the minors, doesn't strike out a whole lot, he can steal bases, really good defender. And they need him to, you know, they need a kind of a mini breakout from him here a little bit, I feel like. Will it come? I don't know. We're going to find out. I like the fact that they're going to give him a shot to, you know, to prove himself. And, you know, along with, you know, Garrett Mitchell and Jackson Churio. It's, I like the ability to put the ball in play, the walk rate. Those are all fantastic. And it's something that the Brewers need because they do have, you know, a decent amount of strikeout guys in their lineup. So this is a perfect storm. I think he can I'm hoping that he can do something.
Yeah, it's interesting. Are you good with the price tag or you just rather wait and see?
I don't think I've drafted him at all yet. But, yeah. You know, there's probably not going to be a whole lot of power there. I think he's more a better real life player than a fantasy player. But, you know, you would think with the elite contact and the ability to get on base, should be able to score some runs. I don't know where he's going to hit in the lineup. He's probably going to hit down towards the bottom of the lineup. So that's not, you know, ideal for fantasy. But could be a cheap a cheap speed, you know, kind of where he's going.
Yeah, for sure. The name many people want to hear when you talk Milwaukee Brewers is Jackson Churio. We know – the skill set that he brought to the minor league, especially in Double A last year, 22 homers, 43 steals in 122 games. Pretty elite stuff. They gave him the extension. All expectations are he starts the season with the big club. ADP of 150, though, for someone we haven't seen do it yet. Are you willing to take that jump on Jackson Chourio?
I had a few shares early on before he signed that, before he signed the deal. I don't know. I really don't. We saw obviously a huge breakout this past season in the minors. 18.4 K percent. I kind of like to see that sub 20 down in Double A. Obviously, he's got a ton of speed. We know that. He's super young. I don't think we can just expect him to hit the ground and be Ronald Acuna, you know, but it's definitely going to be exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm trying to remember the last time the Brewers had a prospect this big, maybe with Braun, maybe.
Yeah, that's probably close.
For the excitement level. But yeah, I think he's going to be, I think he's got a shot for, you know, 15 home runs and like 30 steals. But again, he's so young. I hope he can do well to begin with, because if he kind of struggles a little bit, you know, maybe he's a candidate to get sent back down to work on things. But he's only 19 years old, so.
Yeah, he's young, super young.
Yeah.
That's what I tried to tell people. I'm like, he could literally play in AAA for a good chunk of the season, and I wouldn't be shocked. They're like, oh, no, he got an extension. I'm like, he's 19. They extended him because if he has another year in the minors like he had last year, it's going to cost a lot more money. So it made sense for both of them to get the money, but he also might need some seasoning. I still think he sticks up there, but I'm concerned about how big is the adjustment period to get used to the bigs. Might not be big at all. We'll see. That's just not my drafting style, taking those kind of chances, so I probably won't have much Chourio, but it's one that I could definitely see. I wouldn't be shocked if it bit me in the butt, to put it that way, and
yeah.
See where it goes. Bryce Tarang. This was a fun one to talk about last year because all the hype train was going with Bryce, and it turned out to be, he hit 218 in 137 games, had six home runs, but did steal 26 bases. And so he's got that going for him. He did hit for a decent averages in the minors, at least. Power's not a major thing, but ADP's 320, and he's second base shortstop eligible. I will fully admit, in DCs, I have a lot of him just as a middle infield flexible type guy. Am I in love with it? No, but he's definitely a bench play for me. What's your thoughts on Tarang? Do you think we see a better improvement out of him this year, or is there still concerns?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he's going to be as bad as he was. And he was pretty bad, you know, outside of the stolen bases for us with for fantasy, you know, he was pretty bad. But I'll say this, he did have 21% K rate. So that's, you know, not terrible. Is BABIP 268 BABIP? That seems pretty low, you know, for a lefty and with good speed. So, you know, he does hit a decent amount of fly balls, which is obviously good for power. Is he someone we really want to hit a lot of fly balls, though? That's kind of, you know, I would like to see him be a little bit more of a line drive, you know, get on base. It's kind of player, but 6 stolen bases. He had 34 in AAA the year before. So the stolen bases are definitely going to be there. I think he's going to hit for a little better average, but, you know, I don't think he'll be an elite batting average source by any means. So.
Yeah, he's going to be 24 this year, so I'm expecting some sort of improvement. Again, how much is the million-dollar question? But for at his age, I'm definitely interested to see what said improvement would be. Garrett Mitchell, an outfielder that had high expectations last year, got injured early in the year, so kind of slowed things down, only played 19 games with Milwaukee, 3 homers, 1 steal, 246, but there's still some good chatter about him this year. ADP is 366. Are we back in on Garrett Mitchell?
The youth movement continues here for the Brewers. I think they're going to give him a shot. You know, he's, again, another possible cheap source of speed, kind of where he's going. But, you know, he's a former first-round pick, so he's got a little bit of that pedigree. I think I have maybe one or two shares. It's definitely not going to be somebody that I want to have a lot of. You know, there's not much power there. He's, you know, kind of more of a line drive hitter. Had a super high BABIP. He K's at a really, really high rate still. So I think this, he's going to get the start to start the season, but I think he's a prime candidate to lose his spot at some point or get platooned at least. It's not somebody that I want to have a ton of. Like I said, I think I have one or two.
One or two Garrett Mitchell shares. Anybody else that, you know, Joey Weimer had his moment last year, didn't really pan out. Owen Miller even had his moments last year, as scary as that sounds. Anybody else that kind of interests you on the bench that might have a role at some point this year?
Oh, not really. You know, they got Christian Arroyo. I think there's a possible platoon going on there with somebody. Monasterio is kind of penciled in right now at third base. That's kind of where I'm hoping they upgrade. I would love to see him go get Matt Chapman, but, you know, I don't know if they will or not. No, there's really not a ton of fantasy relevant guys here for me, outside of, you know, kind of the main guys we talked about, you know, mainly being William Contreras. That's kind of my biggest target on this Brewers team and Rhys Hoskins now. But I think we're going to see Rhys Hoskins shoot up a little bit in ADP.
Yeah, a good question to that is Hoskins has like that 190-ish ADP. Where do you think he lands come main draft season?
Well, it's going to depend. If he looks like he's 100% back to normal and ready to go and hitting ropes in spring training, he's going to go way up. I wouldn't be surprised to see him up by Torque. You know, I don't really see much of a difference there. If he's, you know, back to his normal ways, I think that's probably where he's going to ninth, 10th round, maybe.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I was thinking, yeah, around 120, 130-ish. So that does check the boxes there. Let's go to the mound. Corbin Burnes still checks out here. He is the fourth pitcher off the board. ADP of 23 right now, technically the third because Shohei's not pitching this year. But when you look at Burnes, still at 193 innings last year, ratios jumped to 3-4, which sad to say it's a jump. The strikeouts is more the concern in most books, but what are your thoughts on Burnes? Because like I stepped back this offseason because it felt like in season it was a bad season for Burnes, but when you stepped back, it wasn't all that bad. So what are your thoughts on Burnes this season?
I like him. Contract year. He's still giving you a lot of innings. That's exactly what I like out of my ace. Not only in real life, but in fantasy. I like that 200 inning threshold for my ace. You're right though. His K's did take a step back, but I think, and I probably should have looked this up before I hopped on here, but I'm pretty sure the K's picked up, the K rate picked back up the last couple months.
By the end of the season, they did.
Yeah. Yeah. So, his walk rate was up a little bit though, which was kind of a little bit concerning for me. I don't like to see that obviously, but yeah, I don't know. I think I'm back in. I'm totally fine in round two, middle of round two where he's going. I love that. You get one of those, you know, you get one of those five category bats and then you hit Burnes in the middle of the second and you're off to the races. I like that a lot.
Yeah. When I initially did my rankings, I'm like, I'm not really a Burnes guy this year. I'm going to pass. Then I started doing drafts, and you know I'm doing a lot of DC, the 15 teamers, but also doing the NFBC 50s, the 12 teamers. And in a 12 teamer, you can get Burnes I've seen the Acuna at one Burnes second pick type stuff in the round two. Like it's nuts to have that kind of combo. So he's much more appealing to me than I thought he would be. Let's put it that way. Freddie Peralta. Yeah. Always love Freddie Peralta. This is a dude that really turned it on in the second half this past year. Finished the year with a 3.86 ERA, but more importantly, a 23% K to walk. It was over 30% in the second half of last season. ADP is 51, though, for Freddie. Are we buying it?
So, obviously, we love the K rate, and that's something we're always going to love with the fantasy game. One concern I have is the innings. He's not going to go 200 innings, I don't think, like Burnes would. I think he's more of like 160, 165 inning guy, which isn't bad, obviously. I mean, a lot of pitchers are around there these days. I like where he's going. I love him as an SP2. Maybe you get a Burnes Burnes Peralta.
That could be fun
pairing. That's definitely something that could happen in the draft room. I like Peralta a lot. Like that's that's a good target right there. And the, I believe in the fourth round, 15s.
Yep, fourth and a 15. That's a nice SP2. Or would you be the question? I guess we have there. I know your style. You want one of the aces like early because you want at least one workhorse. If for some reason, say you went three hitters early, are you okay with Peralta being your SP1?
Yeah, I think I'd be okay with it. I would just have to make sure, like I would already be thinking, who's my SP2 and 3? They got to be big innings guys. So if I could get Logan Webb to go with him, sign perfect. Me up for that all day. That's a perfect combo. You know, maybe somebody like, try to think who goes in the sixth round that throws a lot of innings. It's not really a whole lot.
That's why it drops off. That's why these aces are aces. It drops off pretty freaking quick.
Yeah. Like, Joe Ryan, I think he doesn't even go, maybe 170.
Let's see. Like, so you got Peralta at 51, like Framber's at 62.
Yeah, Framber, he throws a lot of innings. That'd be
good. Webb's at 64. But yeah, you go to these other guys, it's a lot of like 150 to 160 guys, which isn't bad. Like Lizardo actually threw quite a bit last year. If you believe in that, Eflin would be another guy. Joe Ryan, yeah. You're not going to get a ton of the big boys, though, like you said. So,
yeah.
Piecing it together.
Yeah.
All right. Similar to the offense, things get interesting quick in the rotation. And we go to Wade Miley, who we always like to clown on. Doesn't strike out a lot of guys. But man, if you just look at that ratio number year after year after year, it's pretty darn solid, at least in the ERA department. The whip, could be a little better, but not bad. ADP's 470, though. Is Wade Miley the guy that interests you at all?
Yeah, I have some DC shares of Wade Miley. It's not a pick you make and you're super excited about it. You're not rushing to text anybody that you just, got Wade Miley. Like you said, he eats innings. His ratios last year were pretty solid. I shouldn't even say he eats innings. He's decent when he is out there. He's not a big innings guy. I'm not sure how much you can rely on a 37-year-old pitcher.
True.
But he's fine for the rotation. But, that's going to be somewhere they're going to need to upgrade. This is where losing Woodruff is just an absolute killer. Maybe Aaron Ashby is able to bounce back from his injury, but obviously you can't rely on a ton of innings from him either. I'm a little concerned that the bullpen is going to get overworked with this bottom half of the rotation. It's not good. So
yeah, because you got Colin Ray, Joe Ross, they're the guys there now. Like I do like Ashby, but I'm with you. I don't know how many innings you get out of that. Like when I just look at their roster, it's tough to see where the rest comes from. Is like Bryce Wilson come a starter again? Because he used to be at one point in time with the Braves, or I think like you said, it's gonna have to come from somewhere else. So I'm curious to where all that, like, Jackson Junk ain't the answer, but maybe we'll get some prospects up there. We'll talk about some of those in a minute here. Let's head to the bullpen though, where Devin Williams was filth this past year. Got his first full go in as the closer, and he did not disappoint. And now you have an ADP of 42 with Devin Williams. How are we feeling this year?
Yeah, he's a stud. He's rock solid. Totally fine with him as the first closer off the board. A lot of strikeouts. Little concerned with the walks, but he's been fine with the higher walk totals now for a couple of years. So, I'm on board. He's the locked in surefire closer. I don't think they really mess around much with him in the eighth inning. So, I like that as my closer. I think if he stays with the Brewers all year, I think he's a lock for 30 plus saves.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. That's the only caveat I've even put in an article. He could be traded, and you'd hope if he got traded, it'd be traded to close. That's the goal. But yeah, as long as he's with the Brewers, it's 30 easy to me. And he's creeping in on 40 once again. And the strikeouts are just bonkers with him. And ratios, 1.5 ERA, whip below one. Like, he just lights out stuff. You can argue him as closer one if you want. I wouldn't stop someone there. There's other options, but I could see the appeal. Let's put it that way. If for some godforsaken reason Devin Williams gets hurt or is traded, are you loading up on Pyamps? Is he a DC target of yours, or do you have someone else in mind in the back of that bullpen?
Yeah, he probably gets the first crack, but the guy that I like a lot is Abner Uribe. This guy's real dirty. His issue is very similar to to Devin Williams a lot of walks. But Abner Uribe's got one of the nastiest pitches I think I've ever seen from a Brewer. So he's he's elite. He throws super hard. I don't know if they would throw him into the closer role though. So I think Piams would probably be the first guy, next guy up.
All righty. Let's talk prospects with the Brew Crew. Anybody besides Jackson Chirillo we think we're going to be seeing this year or have maybe some fantasy value for us at some point in time?
Yeah, Tyler Black is a guy that, first of all, third base and steals a ton of bases. So we don't have much of that in our fantasy game. We have maybe three, four guys that steal bases from third base. But this guy had 55 steals last year between AA and AAA to go along with 18 home runs. So maybe if they think that he's ready, then they're not concerned about signing a third baseman. And if they think he's ready and he's up, this could be fantasy gold down here where he's going in DCs. This is definitely a target for me in DCs.
Yep. ADP of 326. I've heard that name mentioned a little more often lately. So he's slowly coming onto my radar as well. So I'm a big fan of that. Any other prospects? We see some maybe Robert Gasser this year. Any pitching arms? Because we mentioned they might need some help this year.
Yeah. Gasser, for sure. Jacob Misorowski is another guy that could see some time. He had 110 strikeouts in 71 innings, I believe, last year in the minors. But he's he hasn't really thrown a ton of innings. So, and he's pretty young. He's only 20. He was 21 last year, so he'd be 22 this year. So maybe he's not quite ready. But yeah, they're gonna have to do something because you can't rely on Wade Miley for a full season, and you know some of those other guys at the back end of that at that rotation. So I think these guys are DC plays as well, and guys to keep an eye on when you're in Fab leagues if they get called up.
Yeah, the call ups will happen for sure with this one. Just looking at Gasser real quick, ADP 478. So definitely. People paying attention to this one. I like to root for the Brewers. I hope they get some more pitching because it's a rough look right now. I'd have to go look at what's even available because we know the price range. We got to drop that down right out the gate for the Brew Crew. They're not going to get Blake Snell or anything like that.
Yeah.
Do you think Burns gets traded this year?
Well, in the before they signed Hoskins, I thought it was foregone conclusion, but now if he's going to get traded, I think it's going to be closer to the deadline if they're out of it. But my worry is they're going to do what they do every year and just try to sneak into the playoffs, and then they get nothing for him.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
So they need to make a decision, and it's not an easy decision to make because as it stands right now, they are a playoff contending team, and that's kind of what you want to sell your fan base. Mm-hmm. But if they're, you know, I don't know. If it's middle of June and they're six games back, I think it's got to be a fire sale. And I think everybody's on the table. So even Freddie Peralta, who's got some years of control, I think he could get a haul. And then I think you can just build around those young pitchers that we just talked about and Churio, you know, and some of these, Frelick, the outfielders, and just kind of build around those guys and just try to load up the farm system. They already have a decent farm system, so they could, easily have the number one farm system and be ready to compete in a couple of years with a fire sale.
Yeah, it's the reality of the situation. They might just have to make the tough decisions here. And if they could somehow deal Burns and Peralta, it might sting a lot this year. But the returns, like you said, that could really – it'll jumpstart the return for the team a lot quicker than the alternative, obviously. So – yeah. That'll be interesting to see. What are your expectations for 2024? I know you said like they're built to sneak into the playoffs. What do you think happens with the Brewers?
I'm not super optimistic. any kind of an injury to Peralta or Burns and they are done. Their offense isn't good enough to hold up just for two starting pitchers. And if you lose one of the starting pitchers, it's going to be ugly. I think that they're going to be in fire sale mode in come trade deadline. That's my prediction.
All right. And last question I have for you. Have you started distributing High Noons in Milwaukee? I don't know whatever their family stadium's called now.
Nope. I sell in the Madison area, so I don't have the Milwaukee area. But no, I don't think High Noons are in the Brewer Stadium yet.
Man, every time I leave California, I see Noons at every bar, every golf course. It's like beautiful, like pretty much any state outside of California. They're slowly incorporating places in California. Like I went to a golf course 2 weeks ago in Carmel. They had Noons. I was pumped. I'm like, here we go. So we're starting to get it going here. But man, like I got my buddy, I told you like how I got my Wisconsin roots kind of, and my transplant roots in Wisconsin. He sends pictures, said that like bars all over the place, and there's High Noon sitting right next to the freaking, you know, Red Bulls in the fridge right behind the bar. And I'm like, God, that must be nice. That must be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all over here. That's for sure.
All right. But on that note, I can sit here and talk High Noon to you all day. The listeners probably don't care though. So we'll cut it off on that one. But before we head out of here, remind everybody where they can find you and what you got going on.
Yeah. Just check out our podcast. In the Cut Fantasy Sports Podcast. We do basketball. We do baseball. Obviously, we're not doing any basketball right now. It's all baseball. So, yeah, just check us out there.
All right, everybody. This was Benched with Bubba, episode 647, the 2024 Milwaukee Brewers team preview with the one, the only, John Fish. Catch you all next time.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.